This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
My countrymen and my friends, I had hoped against hope that some miracle would prevent a devastating war and bring to an end the invasion.
This most serious threat World Wrestling Federation has ever known.
The long-term future of sports entertainment could change forever.
A succession of actual wars have shaken the entire world and have threatened to bring on the gigantic conflict, which is today, unhappily, a fact. Many times that I have seen war and that I hate war.
This is our last chance.
There's no going back. There is no tomorrow. They want to finish us off.
Feel this moment for the rest of your life.
This war is only half over, and it could damn well be lost.
We're laying it all on the line.
Nothing can stop the WCW and ECW.
Austin is going to lead us into invasion.
Lift up your heart. All will come right.
We will kick WCW and ECW's.
No WWF superstar is going to deny us from our destiny.
Death! The sports entertainment!
I have seen war.
Get a W! W!
And I hate war.
Wait, time's over.
Place to Be Nation, welcome back to another episode of Nation Invasion. I'm your host, James Gruenberg, and with me, as always, I have a guest. But before I introduce my guest, I was watching this particular week of shows, and I must say that this seems like the turning point of when they realized that this invasion might be a failure. But they still are heavy on at least some of the Alliance members here tonight. And as we'll see, we're going to see which Alliance members are getting the shine while the others are getting, booed and not getting enough TV time here. But before we deep dive into this Raw and SmackDown before SummerSlam 2001, I have with me a guest. He is the host of Highway to the Impact Zone, and he's, in a fatal four-way guest host always on YouTube Roulette. That is Mr. Logan Crossland. Logan, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing great tonight, James. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing good. Now, Logan, the last time I had you on here, you are a returning guest, but the last time I had you on, the invasion was just sort of starting as, Stone Cold was feuding with Chris Benoit and Chris Jericho. And the match the week that I had you on, Hugh Morris just came in to the WWF and moonsaulted Perry Saturn. And a lot has changed from then and now,
Yeah, definitely. Apparently I'm a bridesmaid and not a bride because you keep having me on these go home shows to these pay per views. So I hadn't quite worked my way to the pay per view yet, but I'm a go home guy. So, that was right before King of the Ring, I believe. So,
yeah, it was around there. Yep.
A lot's happened. And we'll get into it tonight. Kind of like you said to start. I don't know if this is when they kind of started to think like maybe this isn't working as much as we wanted it to, but we'll talk about it.
Well, it's like especially like with the promo, a couple of the promos that we get, we understand like who they are focusing on, like in this WCW side of things, and who they aren't really focusing on here. So, with that being said, we're going to get into the Raw right now. This is Monday Night Raw. August 13, 2001, we're live at the Chicago Allstate Arena. The Alliance comes to the ring. Out comes Stone Cold Steve Austin. Austin says he leads by example. And we have the recap of Austin trying to take out Kurt Angle before SummerSlam. Stone Cold gives an Alliance member the opportunity to finish off Kurt Angle tonight. Paul Heyman gets up out of his chair and he's just started screaming RVD, RVD, RVD. And that gets the fans riled up too because they want to see RVD. And so Stone Cold actually agrees and Rob Van Dam gets the okay to take out Kurt Angle in a hardcore title match here tonight. Austin then congratulates DDP and Canyon. They're the new WWF Tag Team Champions. He congratulates Test for joining the Alliance. We have two new Alliance members as well, Test and Ivory. Ivory was joining the Alliance to assist with Stacy Keibler and Tori Wilson. Little do you know that she was there to help them with their wrestling skills as well because they're green as grass. You know, and then he also congratulates Rhino for taking out Jericho with the gore. He then announces the first Stone Cold Invitational. Then he puts down Raven for losing to Perry Saturn, Hugh Morris for losing to Jericho. And then you hear like a little bit of like some what chants. So the whats are starting. But before we get closer to finishing this promo, what do you think of this first half of this promo, Logan?
Yeah, obviously you want to put your biggest star out there. Stone Cold's obviously, he's at the top of his game on this year. He's one of the bright spots for sure, in ring and just in all of these segments and kind of stuff. So, he congratulates all the guys. He congratulates Test and the tag champs. Kind of like you said, RVD obviously steps up to take on Kurt later in the night. And then he puts down the couple guys he puts down, and you'll get to the one that he really goes in on in a minute. But you kind of have to feel bad for Morris and Raven because they get pretty shit on, so that they just kind of have to stand there and take it during this. But Morris probably was never going to beat Jericho, but Raven probably could have beat Saturn, so maybe he can get mad at Raven. But that Morris probably he was probably never going to win that match. But we'll get on to the rest of it and talk about that when you're done.
Not only that, but Tommy Dreamer also gets a little yelled at as well. It's like, Tommy, I know you got the t-shirt on, but you haven't had a match. And it's like, well, nobody is giving these guys ring time. This is where like we see that they're losing faith in guys, but like again. Yeah, Tommy Dreamer was great in ECW. Is he great in the WWF? Who knows? Because again, Mr. McMahon, Vince is not like, they're not putting in time to like see what these guys can actually do. But he also calls in Taz. He starts berating Taz because Taz was just standing at the announcer's table while The Rock gave Shane McMahon a rock bottom through the table. Stone Cold starts whipping Taz and he says, take the shirt off. Taz doesn't take the shirt off, Then Stone Cold low blows Taz and the Alliance members beat him up. What's up, Bomb and Gore to Taz. And then Austin starts whipping him more. And as Austin is like doing his like yelling promo, you can hear Chavo. You can see Chavo in the background mimicking or like lipping every word that Stone Cold says. I don't know if you saw that, but I sure did. I was like, wait, what is he doing?
Yeah, I don't think I noticed if it was Chavo or not, but yeah, I definitely saw somebody in the background kind of doing what. And if you listen, the crowd actually does the promo along with Austin because they kind of knew exactly what it was going to say because he calls them a son of a bitch, and they go son of a bitch along with him. So, Taz gets beat pretty bad here. So, definitely seems like Taz is really really getting buried on this one. Effective promo by Austin overall, I'd say. Like I said, you kind of feel bad for the few guys that got pointed out, but he is the leader, so he's going to lead by example.
Yep. Edge and Christian are then backstage as Edge is confident in beating Lance Storm at SummerSlam. And then we have a then we go right into a matchup. It's Tajiri versus Albert. They've had like, a couple of tag team matches. Like it was Tajiri and Spike versus Albert and X-Pac, X-Pac and Tajiri had that title unification. You know, they had that matchup for the, I believe it was the WCW Cruiserweight or the Light Heavyweight title. One of those titles is down to Jerry's, you know, so they've been feuding for a while here. But again, we have actually Tajiri versus Albert. Press slam by Albert and splash. X-Pac stops the tarantula. Regal takes a shot at X-Pac. Missed to X-Pac. Regal takes out Albert's legs, but Albert kicks out at two. And then Tajiri all of a sudden gets red mist to Albert and a kick to Albert's head for the win. I went a star and a half on it, Logan. Like, it's not good by any necessary because, like, the size of Albert versus Tajiri, like, this is a mismatch, you know, where it's like Albert can really just squash Tajiri here, and he really needs help, like, you know, beating Albert. But I went a star and a half because, like, I still think that Tajiri had really good kicks, and, like, you know, you still see Albert's strength in this matchup here.
Yeah, I went gentleman's too. I like Tajiri's kicks a lot, and him kind of having to, you know, use those to kind of fight off the fact that Albert was so much bigger than him. At the beginning of the match, Heyman kind of points out how dumb it is that two WWF guys are facing each other. Like, why not put all your eggs against a WCW in the Alliance or an DCW in the Alliance and all that kind of stuff? So he kind of points out how dumb that is that they're facing each other. But, you know, like, kind of like you said, Albert's size and physicality, kind of he uses that to kind of dominate the match early on, and we get the green and the red mist in this match, so multiple mist colors with all of their evil powers that they have. But he gets X-Pac with the green, and then he gets Albert with the red to kind of get the big win. So a big win for Tajiri, but like I said, I liked a lot of his kicks, and Albert's kind of one of my low-key kind of underrated kind of favorite TV guys. He has a lot of good TV matches throughout the years. So, I enjoyed it.
Especially during this time, like when he had his feud with Kane for the Intercontinental title as well. You would think that, like, Tajiri was, you know, the spokesperson for Mountain Dew. Like, you know, he's got the green mist and the red mist.
Yep, he had regular and code red, so there we go.
Backstage, Michael Cole interviews Kurt Angle. Angle accepts RVD's challenge, so we're going to have that match up here tonight for the hardcore title. I don't know if it was a hardcore title match, but like it was just like a hardcore match, and we'll see what happens there afterwards. Hugh Morris then actually attacks Kurt Angle, but Angle puts him in an ankle lock. So Hugh Morris is trying to step up because he listened to Stone Cold's words that he's just a big loser, basically. So he tried to step up and it backfired on him. And now we have a tag team matchup here. It's Edge and Christian versus Lance Storm and Just Incredible. Christian and Storm start off, DDT by Justin, spinning heel kick to Storm, double clothesline by Edge, super kick by Lance Storm. Justin accidentally kicks Storm in the face, impaler by Edge to Justin for the win. Again, I gave this one a star and a half. Like, it's good, but, you know, like, it sort of shows, like, what Lance and Justin are capable of. Like, you know, their old Impact players, you know, tag moves and stuff. But, you know, really, like, it's this just to get Edge and Christian over. And, you know, Edge gets one up on Lance Storm. So another star and a half on it.
Yeah, I kind of did the same as the first one. I went two. I thought the pace was really quick early, kind of start this one. Everybody was kind of going back and forth a lot at the beginning. Christian's knee gives way, so that kind of gives him an excuse to not kind of get back into the match. And he kind of is late to the post-match attack. I thought the super kick from Lance Storm was a pretty sick super kick. And then Credible kind of hits one right after that and accidentally hits Storm. So, and then obviously, like you said, Edge finishes with the Impaler. So, yeah, not a bad match, but I like the pace of it early, and I liked kind of the story they wove through it. So I went two.
Okay. Stone Cold is backstage getting RVD ready for Kurt Angle. Shocked, Stasiak comes in and tries to suck up to Austin. Canyon and DDP are backstage with O'Hare and Palumbo. Canyon tells them to take back the titles. Kurt is backstage with William Regal. Regal is concerned about Kurt before SummerSlam. Kurt is American. You know, he's going to go through anything. Sean Stasiak runs into attack Angle but misses, and he runs right into the Regal's, like, nightstand. I call it a nightstand because it's the K-N-I-G-H-T night, and it's a night statue, you know, but I call it a nightstand.
Oh yeah, but that moment was hilarious. He comes charging in, yelling and screaming, and then he just Nick goes head first right into the suit of armor and all that. But yeah, Stasiak really wants to prove himself, and he constantly is making an ass of himself. So, but I like the little hype promo that DDP and Canyon gave O'Hare and Palumbo ahead of their cage match with Taker and Kane. So, but yeah, the Stasiak stuff's funny, but it shows how much of a goof they think he is. And I'm sure this is like a rib for the whole like videoing thing that he got in trouble for around this time. So, but yeah, it was funny, but you could tell that they don't really give a crap about him at the same time.
Well, you know what it is, Logan? It's not, I don't think it's because of the video thing. I've heard rumors like about this for like years that according to Hugh Morris and I think like Lance Storm too, Sean Stasiak called a radio station and he told the radio station what they were going to do with the WCW guys at WrestleMania 17. So he ruined the whole plan. Like, how dumb do you have to be to really do that?
He didn't seem like the brightest bulb on the tree. Yeah, I think the videoing stuff was more his first run when he was meat. Uh-huh. So
yeah.
So it must have been something else like that. But I think, you know, when you kind of, you know, burn that bridge once, it's kind of, they kind of don't ever really forgive you for it. So, he seems to burn it twice, but they don't appreciate that very much. And they kind of showed how they felt about him on screen there.
So this Logan, I believe this is where it got to. How they are treating the Alliance members here. Certainly this match, but like the angle with Stasiak, you know, and Hugh Morris as well. But this matchup, JR actually called it the main event. And it was like, real. I don't think this is going to be the main event of Raw, you know. It's a cage match between Sean O'Hare and Chuck Palumbo versus The Undertaker and Kane. And it's for the WCW titles, you know, but again, this is where like they are just like, nope, you know what? This failed. We're just going to embarrass the WCW guys here. It's not really embarrassment, but this matchup is just a slaughter fest, you know? Kane slams the door into O'Hare, a choke slam by Kane. O'Hare tries to escape, another choke slam to O'Hare. DDP and Candy come to ringside. Last ride to Palumbo. DDP chases Sarah. Sarah climbs the cage into the ring. A double pin, and O'Hare, I think, got another choke slam for his for his trouble as well. Again, I want a star and a half. These matches are not impressing me. Like, I mean, I know it's like a show and you're like time constrained and all, like, you know, but like nothing is really like showing me why I should bump it up to like two stars, like especially like these first like three matches. This is just a slaughter fest, and poor Chuck Palumbo is bleeding like a stuffed pig.
Yeah, I'll agree with you on a star and a half on this one. I would go one for the squash, but the blade job that Palumbo does is pretty good too, so I'll give it the extra half there. But they do kind of a good job of keeping Kane out of the cage at first, but obviously, like you said, he slams the door into O'Hare's head when he comes in. But yeah, I mean, this is just complete and utter destruction. And this actually kind of bleeds over into SummerSlam, if I remember correctly. So, you know, I don't know how on on the train Taker was with this whole invasion thing, or making the WCW guys look good or whatever. But he does a particular Barry job on a good many of these guys throughout the storyline. So this is just like you said, it's an absolute slaughter. They beat the absolute doo doo shit out of O'Hare and Palumbo here. So, but yeah, 1.5.
And these are the guys that, like, they sort of were pushing because they're, like, you know, natural-born thriller, you know, like, the group faction. But, again, Jindrak got hurt, and he tore his MCL, so he was sidelined. And then it looked like just, like, Sean O'Hare and, like, Palumbo were on their own. They had a good run for a month, and then it's like, well, now what do we do?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It seemed like they kind of wanted to buy into the young guys because they had, you know, they were young and were good prospects and seemed to have like built themselves toward the end of the WCW. But I think they all realized that they were greener than maybe they thought originally. And they all kind of end up back in OVW or at some point. So, yeah, it's just kind of crazy how quickly they gave up on them.
Mm-hmm. So now we, we have probably the longest promo between like, 5 people, actually. 6 if you count. 6 if you count Shane McMahon, but he's not even in the ring here. Starts out with Stephanie coming out to the ring with Rhino. Steph says she feels great after Rhino gored Jericho. Jericho accepts Rhino's challenge at SummerSlam. Steph says Rhino has destroyed Jericho in the past. Jericho comes out. Well, then, Steph actually announced that she'll be in Rhino's corner. Out comes Jericho. And then, sorry about that. Jericho is still, feeling the effects of the gore. Calls Stephanie a dirty, greasy woman. She's like, I'm going to get my hands on that greasy, dirty. You know, he says like a bunch of things. He goes, then I'm going to get you too, Rhino. So he was like taking his shot at Steph. Jericho says Steph got the job done. Jericho then points out Steph got a boob job, basically. Jericho says, let the boobies hit the floor instead of bodies. And Jericho wants to bring Steph to Hooters. This was hilarious on Jericho's part, and we're only like a quarter of the way done with it.
Yeah, the smelly, greasy, nasty animal, and I'm gonna get to you too, Rhino, is one of the best lines he ever delivers. poor Steph just gets wholly embarrassed throughout this whole thing. So, but it is some pretty good lines by Jericho. This is a pretty infamous segment. This is one that kind of pops up on, kind of greatest promo battles of all time between Jericho and who comes out next. So,
it's like I heard there's a Hooters just down the street from this place. Jared's like, Hooters?
I don't get it, King.
Oh, God. Booker T then comes to the ring. He doesn't even attack Jericho. He just walks right past him. Booker has had enough of Jericho disrespecting Stephanie. Booker calls Jericho a Backstreet Boy, which really is hilarious because he does look like a wannabe Backstreet Boy with a boy band haircut of the long hair. Jericho calls Booker Mr. T. Booker is going to take The Rock to school at SummerSlam. The Rock comes out and says Booker was a 27-year-old senior. Rock asks Booker what 2 + 2 is. He said Thomas Jefferson sucker. Rock and Jericho go back and forth on disses. And one infamous one was Booker T, the punk-ass sucker, and Shane McMahon, the silver spoon mother, you know. And it's like, mother bugger. It's like, wait, what did he say? And that was like the most, that was the funniest line ever that I thought during his promo. What did you think about it, Logan?
Yeah, but, you know, Booker comes out, and like you said, he doesn't even attack Jericho. He just kind of walks past him and tells him to leave Stephanie alone, calls him a Backstreet Boy. And then, yeah, Rock comes out and has, you know, does the 2+2 Thomas Jefferson sucker and all that. So makes fun of how dumb Booker T is. But yeah, the punk ass sucker, the silver spoon motherfucker, is one of the I'm surprised they don't like bleep that out on the network or on Peacock, you know. It's kind of crazy.
I didn't know that he got the F word out. I thought he said something else too, like,
yeah.
I have to go back and watch it, because I thought he said bucka or something, you know.
Yeah.
Like,
he might have you know, used finagled the words a little bit, but that's definitely what he was trying to say. I
knew what he was trying to say.
But yeah, then towards the end, Jericho and Rock keep kind of trading back and forth insults. You know, Jericho calls them the gore and the whore at one point. So that one was pretty good. But this is all just to set up a tag team main event. So between the four guys. Yeah. So, but yeah, it's a very long segment, but it does have some good little snipes back and forth.
Yeah, it is. If you wanted to get the alliance over, having a long promo of this didn't really help, you know.
yeah, it really punked out the two alliance guys, but yeah. That definitely didn't help the storyline for sure.
No, Steph issues a tag match between Rock and Jericho versus Rhino and Booker T. They accept, obviously. Stone Cold is backstage with Hurricane Helms. Helms shows Austin the Green Lantern tattoo that he has, and he goes, "What is that? Superhero." And Deborah, I think Deborah broke character here, because she was not expecting. She's like, "You have a Green Lantern tattoo? What the hell?" She just burst out like laughing. You're like, "You don't even know who the Green Lantern is."
Yeah, that one kind of surprised me that she like laughed like she knew. I mean, I don't know that she doesn't know comic books and stuff like that, but like, I would not, she does not strike me as a person that would even like know comic books or even think about comic books. So the fact that she giggled was like, "What? What's going on here?" But yeah, he kind of just tells him to go make an impact, kind of like he had told Stasiak earlier.
Yeah, he tells them that, like, you know, being a superhero reminds him of Kurt Angle. He says that can the hurricane fly? And, like, he doesn't even call him, like, the hurricane. He just says, can hurricanes fly, you know, and cause mass destruction? He wants Kurt to, he wants Hurricane to cause mass destruction with Kurt Angle. And now we have our newest alliance member. He's in action. It is now Tess versus Spike Dudley. You know, I thought that Tess being a alliance member was pretty good, because like, he was like sort of turning heel on the WWF, where they beat him up because they thought he was the mole, and Paul Heyman was like, "It was me. I was letting them all in, not Tess." And you know, so like, for him to be in the alliance, like, it's sort of it sort of feels like it's bringing out like another powerful like little run push for Test here again.
Yeah, he's the constant, like, as much as the Big Show is the flipping from heel to face, the Test is the stop and start on pushes. Like, they feel like they want to push him, make him bigger than he is, but then they realize, like, you know, his talent level only reaches a certain point. So but yeah, he's real stop and start on a lot of these pushes that they try to give him.
Yep. So let's take a look at this one. Tess counters the Dudley Dog and throws Spike to the outside. Tess rams Spike into the ring post. Tess missed the elbow. Hurricanrana to Tess, but then Spike gets a big boot for the win. So Tess beats Spike with the big boot. I gave this matchup a star. It's a squash, basically, where poor Spike Dudley just gets thrown around. He tries to, like, do the Dudley Dog so many times, and he just gets counter up the town until he finally gets a big boot in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'll give Spike a little bump, but I'll go star and a half on it. You know, Spike takes at least one bump throughout any of his matches. Just watching Ruthlessly Aggressive and kind of watching this for these episodes, he takes one bump a match where it just looks like he just completely free falls and just dies, going to the floor. You know, Tess counters the Dudley Dog and just chucks him out of the ring, and he doesn't use the ropes to kind of catch his fall at all. He just goes straight to the ground. So poor Spike takes a bump in pretty much every match that he does like that. So I think they gave Spike kind of enough hope spots to make this one entertaining. But like you said, Tess pretty much destroys him. Spike hit a pretty good Hurricane Rana at one point, and then that big boot at the end made kind of a nasty thud. So, yeah, not the best match, but it was pretty much just put over Tess as kind of the new enforcer for the Alliance.
Yep, Tess then powerbombs Spike. Molly slaps Tess. APA then come down and save Molly. The Dudleys and Tess brawl with APA, a big boot to Bubba, and then a spine buster to Devon. So we'll see what happens. Tess is usually like flocking with the Dudley boys, and the APA are here to clean house. So while Tess goes to the Alliance, you know, and tries to be the new enforcer, he still has to deal with the APA being the enforcers for the WWF when the Undertaker has his own problems, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that could be an interesting six-man at SummerSlam for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Kurt Angle is backstage again with Matt and Lita this time. Angle disses Hurricane. Hurricane slaps Angle's milk out of his hands. And then Kurt Angle just throws him through hits Hurricane with a cookie sheet and then throws him through the table. So, and then Matt Hardy goes, "So, Lita, what's your favorite hero, superhero?" She goes, "Wonder Woman, of course." Keep in mind, Logan, Matt Hardy is still European champion.
Oh, wow. I didn't realize that. That's crazy. But yeah, poor Hurricane just gets friggin' chucked on the catering table. He of course kind of deserves it because he slaps Kurt's drink out of his hand. So, but yeah, I liked the little back and forth after Hurricane's just sitting there squirming between Matt Hardy and Lita. So, not a bad little segment.
And now we have one of our featured bouts here tonight. Rob Van Dam versus Kurt Angle. The hardcore title is on the line. RVD meets Angle. RVD goes into the steps. Angle goes into the crowd. Spinning leg dive to Kurt. Drop kick into the chair by Kurt. RVD drop kicks a chair into Kurt. Clothesline to RVD. Ankle lock to RVD. Mike Awesome then comes out. He hits Kurt Angle with a chair. Angle slam to RVD. Jeff Hardy then appears, and he swanton bombs RVD, and he pins RVD to be the hardcore champion. For this matchup, I went 2 stars because, like, you know, it's good. Like, you know, RVD and Kurt Angle had really good chemistry, but Jeff Hardy coming out of nowhere just to get the swanton bomb, he kind of steals the thunder away from Angle, but he pushes his feud with RVD a little bit more, you know, so they're not done yet with RVD versus Jeff Hardy, as we'll see on SmackDown, but Jeff Hardy steals the hardcore title. Another thing to bring up too, while RVD is hardcore champion, the 24/7 rule really has left. You know, it's not like RVD's getting, like, you know, the Crash Holly treatment, trying to, you know, survive every WWF member. You know, like, they're really making him a solid champion where he has one match and one match only. But, you know, Jeff Hardy pulled the stunt and he gets the hardcore title. So I went 2 stars on the match logo between Angle and RVD.
Yeah, it seems like during certain periods of the invasion, they kind of give up on the 24/7. Like, they use it when it's convenient, but they don't always kind of use it. So they obviously use it here. Like you said, they meet in the entranceway and kind of start brawling immediately. RVD takes kind of a sick bump into the kind of wedged chair in the corner. I thought that was pretty sick. Love seeing RVD pull out the Van Damminator on TV. You don't see that very often. That's more of like a pay-per-view kind of move that he hits. There was a pretty sick clothesline reversal that Angle did at one point. And then pretty much, like you said, everyone that Austin kind of insulted earlier kind of tries to come out and help RVD and make a difference there at the end. But Hardy kind of takes advantage of it and ends up winning the title for himself, like you said. So I don't think it really hurts Kurt or anything. I don't think it really bothered him. I think he wasn't really, you know, interested in the hardcore title. He was just wanting to beat up on an Alliance member. So I think he was more than happy to kind of give Hardy the win and the title in that situation. So not bad, but they didn't really get enough time to cook either. I think if they were given a proper amount of time and a good length match, they could have a real, real banger for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, indeed. As Kai and Ty say, you know, they could have like had a great banger, but you know, I think that Kurt was like, "All right, you know, you got it, Jeff. I don't need this, and you need it more than I do." And poor Tommy Dreamer got the ankle lock at the end, so everybody was just trying to, you know, like, please Stone Cold, and nobody's getting the job done at all. And then here we go to the back. Debra and Sean Stasiak are in the back. And, you know, Sean Stasiak's like, "Debra, is he mad at me? Is Stone Cold mad at me?" She goes, "Well, I think you should apologize to him." And Austin just accidentally hits Sean Stasiak with a door, basically. So Sean Stasiak is not having a great night.
He is not having a great night. Yeah, he kind of ends up pacing around, and as Stone Cold's coming out of the bathroom, he swings it wide open and smacks him in the face. And then Austin admits that he did not flush, so he left a floating turd in the Allstate Arena here tonight. So that is something that happened. Yeah, he didn't flush the commode.
He didn't flush the commode, Debra. Yeah, so, oh yeah. Now we have our main event here: Booker T and Rhino versus Rock and Chris Jericho. Jericho and Rhino start off, crossbody to Rhino, chops by Jericho, dropkick to Rhino, clothesline to Rhino by the Rock. Jericho throws Rhino into Booker T. Booker T clotheslines Jericho, flapjack to Booker, belly to belly to Rhino. Booker throws Rock to the outside, sidekick to the Rock by Booker, scissors kick to Rock, flying elbow to Rhino, tag to Jericho, spinning heel kick to Rhino. Booker hits the ref. Seth hits Jericho with a chair. Rock nails Nick Patrick. Spinebuster to Rhino. Booker stops Rock from doing the people's elbow. Shane levels Mike Chioda. As Mike Chioda is running, Shane just like spears him. And there's a story that Mike was like, "Give me all that you got, Shane." And like Shane literally levels Mike Chioda from getting into the ring. A low blow to Jericho and a roll up for the win. So Charles Robinson ends up like doing the fast count here. And so Rhino and Booker T actually win the match, but they're like, there's like just more, like, you know, after this matchup: a gore to Jericho, a DDT to Rhino, then the Rock gives the Rock Bottom to Charles Robinson and Rhino. Booker then gives a Rock Bottom to the Rock, or the bookend, as he will call it on SmackDown. And then he gives him another bookend on a steel chair. For the match itself, Logan, I went 2¾ stars. This was an amazing match. I might actually bump it up to 3. I thought this was a very good, amazing match. Like, two Alliance members that you're really focusing on besides Stone Cold, and two of the WWF's, like, you know, best talent, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I went 2¾. I thought it was really good. The crowd is on fire for Jericho and The Rock to start this one. Whenever they come out, they're going crazy, especially Rock for sure. And we'll kind of see that on SmackDown as we get to that too. But obviously, both Steph and Shane are out at ringside, and they kind of make the difference early because Rock and Jericho are pretty much teeing off on them and just able to do whatever they want early. And then I think Shane grabs Rock's foot or something like that, and that kind of gets Booker and Rhino the advantage. Whole lot of punches from Rock in this one. I won't say he did much in the way of moves. He does a lot of punches, a lot of clotheslines throughout the beginning. Jericho goes for his little springboard drop kick at one point, and he kind of trips, so he ends up doing like a springboard punch. I thought that was a pretty good save on that, and he kind of made the best of what could have been a pretty bad botch. Obviously, the ref gets taken out. It's an attitude, you know, kind of attitude era main event. So refs are going to get taken out, and chaos is going to break loose. You know, the crowd wanted the people's elbows so bad, but Booker does a good job cutting it off. Like you said, Kyoto runs out to the match, and like I described it as a pounce. Shane just pounces him out of nowhere and just absolutely obliterates him. It's crazy. But yeah, Rhino kind of getting the pin in this, I thought was a big moment for him. As much as we kind of talked about some of the younger Alliance guys kind of getting squashed and kind of made to look bad throughout this show, I think they really are doing a good job of pushing Rhino at this point, because he gets the big win on Jericho yet again. And he technically beats The Rock if you want to look at, you know, a result. So, but yeah, Booker ends up on top, hits the two bookends, the last one on the chair, like you said. So, really putting over, Booker and Rhino at the end of this show.
Yeah, they are really making them, strong, you know, like I said, it felt like, you know, like especially like this Raw, like, and like, I guess like not really the SmackDown, but the Raw, like, you know, Austin just like putting down like the Alliance members. Like, it's not even Austin. It just feels like, you know, that the WWF guys or the WWF as a whole has given up on the WCW talent that they've acquired. But it's like, if you watch their WCW stuff, you know, Hugh Morris can do a great moonsault, you know, the natural born thrillers, they can jump. Lance Storm has kicks, you know, and stuff. And they're still like focusing on Lance Storm because he's still the Intercontinental Champion, and you know they understand like what he can do. But like, you know, DDP and Kanan, it's like Kanan at the end was doing really well, and DDP, like, I just don't understand how you screw up the DDP, you know.
Yeah, I just don't think, you know, whatever grudge or whatever, you know, Vince has in his head, you know, they weren't his guys, so he was never going to push them the way that, you know, they could have been pushed. And it, you know, the company's kind of the worst for it in a way, because, you know, DDP could have been, I think he was kind of on his last legs anyways. He was older. Mm-hmm. He got started a lot older, so he was already in his late 40s, I think, at this point. So, I mean, he's probably wrapping up his career anyways, but I definitely think that got kind of sped up because they didn't really use him that well in this run. So, yeah, I don't know what it was. I mean, it's just that they weren't stars that he created. So, but I, you know, yeah, he definitely fumbled a good bit of, I mean, the younger guys, you can kind of understand they're obviously not that top tier talent, but you should have given them more of a chance instead of just kind of throwing them out there and getting them destroyed by, you know, the veterans that you have. So, I mean, it could have been handled better, but that's the whole storyline pretty much. So, but yeah.
Well, Logan, you know, I still haven't picked you yet to do a pay-per-view, but we do get to, we get to christen the new SmackDown set together.
That is true.
SmackDown is from Salt Lake City tonight, August 16th, 2001. Like I said, we have a new SmackDown set. Gone is the Ovaltron with the word SmackDown on it after Rhino gored Jericho through it. If you listened on the last episode with Ben, I said, Vince was like, I need a new set. And he just said, hey, Rhino, want to gore Jericho through the set? He was like, sure.
Amazing. Amazing. Yeah, that was a pretty sick spot. But yeah, seeing the fist definitely made me happy.
Yeah, and like, you know, like the new like pyro set, like, you know, that they got like all the booms, and it was like, well, you know, it's a new set because there's extra pyro in it tonight as well.
Yeah, Shane McMahon.
Yep, sorry about that. Yeah.
No, you're good.
Shane McMahon comes out. Shane says, you know, the Utah Jazz and Booker T aren't in don't have anything in common because the Utah Jazz don't know how to win championships like Booker T does. And I think he said something else too. I forget what he said. Like, he said something about Utah besides the Utah Jazz.
Oh, he said polygamy, aka yeah. The Mormons having more than one wife and all that good stuff. So.
Yeah. I was laughing about that. And like, yeah, so the Utah Jazz don't know how to win championships like Booker T. Shane says Booker will retain the WCW title at SummerSlam. Booker T comes out. Booker then just does, like, all he does is an impersonation of The Rock. He says, "You smell what the book is cooking." Mm-hmm. You know, he mocks The Rock. Booker accuses The Rock of stealing Booker T's moves. Booker does a spin-a-rooney, what The Rock calls the people's elbow, the most electrifying move in sports entertainment. And then he says that The Rock stole the rock bottom from Booker T's bookend. So this was kind of funny, just goofy Booker T, though. And then he, like, so... Then The Rock arrives and comes to the ring. Rock gives Booker T credit for laying out The Rock on Monday night. Says it's not the bookend, it's the rock bottom. Here's a funny tidbit like that I thought was funny. Booker T and Shane McMahon come back out, and Michael Cole acts like they're just coming out for the first time. He's like, "Oh, it's Booker T, it's Shane McMahon." It's like, you just saw them 5 minutes ago, and you're acting like it's the first time you saw them. I was like, dude, what are you doing? So they come back out, and then Sean Stasiak actually comes out, and he wants to fight The Rock. Rock gives him a rock bottom, and actually a referee comes out, rings the bell, and then gives The Rock bottom for a 1-2-3. I did not rate this. This is more of just a segment dumb. I don't know why you had to have a referee come out for this. Like, you know, that was stupid. And so, like, again, Sean Stasiak is not having a great week now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's having a rough go of it. They kind of exchange strikes a little bit, but yeah, Rock hits him with the rock bottom pretty quick. That opening promo by Shane talking about Utah, I thought the joke about the polygamy and the Jazz was pretty good. The Booker T stuff, it was kind of funny, but it was kind of lame at the same time because he was pretty much just impersonating The Rock, showing how much more entertaining The Rock is than him. He can't kind of come up with his own catchphrases or whatever. So, you know, it was funny to a point, but I think he kind of overdid it. And then The Rock, you know, again, the crowd is just absolutely bonkers for him. Calls Booker out for stealing his move, obviously. He says it's the rock bottom, not the bookend, and that's what he'll use to take him out this Sunday at SummerSlam. So, and then he calls him out again to fight. But obviously Stasiak comes out. But yeah, Stasiak's having a rough week.
So then The Rock then says that Booker has 3 days left as WCW champion. Rock challenges Booker to a lights out match here tonight. No alliance or WWF allowed. Booker accepts, and we're going to see what that transpires at the end of the night here. But for now, we have a lights out match. It's Booker T versus The Rock.
Yeah, definitely an exciting match. I never knew that they ran one of these lights out matches. Obviously, it's pretty much just a you know, anything goes kind of match, but. Yeah. I never knew that they had ran any type of match that was called that, because that's kind of an AEW kind of match nowadays. They do a lot of lights out matches, so definitely was excited to see what that could be.
But let me ask you, since you brought it up, can the fans see what is going on between the guys in a lights out match? Obviously, in AEW.
Yeah, I think it's more of a play on words than it is anything. I don't think it's really the lights aren't technically out. I think it's more of just like we're not seeing like the you know the illegalities that they're doing, like they're using weapons and stuff. So I think they're just kind of ignoring the you know what would usually bring a disqualification. So I think it's more of that. Mm.
So now we have Tajiri and Regal versus X-Pac and Albert. Regal and X-Pac start. Shots to X-Pac, kicks the X-Pac's face, tag to Albert. Tajiri takes down Albert. A clothesline in the corner to Regal. Hurricanrana to X-Pac. A Balboa bomb to Tajiri for the win. For this matchup, I bumped it up to a star and three quarters. So I went a star and a half on the last one with Tajiri and Albert. But this one, because it was a tag team matchup, it impressed me a little bit. I went a star and three quarters. You know, X-Pac got his kicks in with Tajiri. And, you know, we got the Baldo bomb. And, you know, we'll see the title for title match again at SummerSlam between X-Pac and Tajiri.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I went gentleman's two again. I'm reminded at the beginning of this match of the absolutely trash X Factor dub that they have on the network. Could use the Uncle Cracker version, of course. Regal and X-Pac was kind of an interesting matchup to start out with. I believe they face each other at the Deadly Game Survivor Series in the draw that they have. But I would have liked to have seen them kind of face each other off in both of their primes. I think that definitely could have been an interesting match. But Tajiri really lays in all his kicks again on both guys. Albert also lays in a lot of his good strikes and stuff throughout the match. And you know, Tajiri is one of those guys that's kind of overlooked in this era. I mean, he's obviously a smaller guy, obviously going to be in the light heavyweight cruiserweight division, but he's really, really solid in ring. He's super crisp and super quick in all of his matches kind of during this time period. But Albert obviously lost on Monday, so he gets his win back tonight with the big Baldo bomb. So, yeah, not a bad match. It's one other one of those that just kind of didn't get enough time to cook, so it could only reach kind of a certain score for me.
Mm-hmm. So now Stone Cold and Deborah are backstage. Austin gives Earl Hebner a list on a clipboard. He wants all the WWF guys to sign it. So who's going to go to Austin Stone Cold University and be the first participant in the Stone Cold Invitational here tonight? Earl Hebner brings the list to the WWF, and Kurt Angle is the first one to sign it. So we'll see how that pans out for Austin here tonight.
Yeah. Obviously, he brings Earl in so he can take the clipboard to the WWF guys, and there is a motley crew of people in the WWF locker room.
Quick, you know, is still there.
Yeah. We got Kay Quick. We got Bob Holly was in there. Obviously, Scotty Too Hotty was in there. We'll kind of see him later. But just everybody. It's like all of the jobbers, and then Kurt Angle was randomly in there.
Ty.
Oh yeah, Kai and Ty was in there too. Yeah.
So now again, Edge and Christian are backstage. Edge wants to fight Austin here tonight, but Christian thinks he's being selfish and not trying to help them become eight-time tag team WWF tag team champions, as it will be, Edge and Christian versus DDP and Chris Kanyon in a tag team matchup here tonight for the WWF tag team titles. And then we have Ivory. She's backstage with Stacy and Tori Wilson. She's going to train them, and they will meet Jacqueline and Lita on Heat, before the SummerSlam pay-per-view. So little inklings of Christian, being a little bit jealous of Edge's popularity. Not too much into it, but like you still see a little bit of a crack between the two.
There was definitely some jealousy with the whole King of the Ring win, but obviously I think Christian is trying to play the I'm happy for you card, but I want your success as well. And you know, he calls him selfish for wanting to go after Austin instead of focusing on the tag title match that they have later. So yeah, definitely some inklings dropped there, but I think it's pretty obviously where it's eventually headed.
And then, you know, the little segment with Ivory in the backup, I thought Ivory was a good move. You know, she just got off of the right to censor. We don't really see her. And, you know, like, I think it was good that they brought her in to help, like, really train Tori and Stacy, who are green as grass. It doesn't really help them, like, in the long run, but, like, they were trying. And at least, like, Tori and Stacy were really trying to, like, were trying to be workers, even though they really weren't. They were just eye candy and managerial services.
And it wasn't bad to bring like a veteran of the WWF to kind of join the alliance to, like you said, kind of get those girls under her wing and kind of teach them the ropes a little bit. Whether it worked out very well for her or not is a different story, but it was good to get, you know, kind of a veteran from the other side to their side to obviously try and do that.
And then we get the recap of Stone Cold destroying Taz, and then Earl Hebner brings the list to Austin. Austin realizes Kurt Angle's name is on the list of like the first one on the list. So he just like, okay, if he wants some, he'll get some, you know? And so we'll see how that pans out. Then Taz joins Michael Cole and Paul on commentary. How comes Stone Cold? Before Austin can get started, Paul Heyman comes into the ring and he basically tattles on Taz and goes, he's been saying crap about you. He's been talking to you. So two back-to-back, you know, shows where Paul Heyman has lines and has like segments basically.
He immediately tattletales on Taz because Taz comes out and pretty much immediately shits on Austin and says he's going to get some revenge and pick his spot during this invitational.
Stone Cold says school is in session. Austin says he must master the basics to be successful. And instead of going from top to bottom, Austin flips the list and goes bottom to top. And Scotty Two Hotties' name was the first one on the bottom side, so he picks Scotty. And how comes Scotty Two Hotty? This poor, like, Scotty Two Hotty to have to be the victim of Stone Cold's paranoia, basically. He, like, Stone Cold literally is just, like, he's, like, disappointed that the WWF sent out Scotty Two Hotty. He expected Kurt Angle to come out. Austin says Scotty will never be successful. Austin says Scotty reminds him of Kurt. Austin says both Scotty and Kurt are afraid of him. Austin starts calling Scotty Kurt. The paranoia, this is hilarious. And he's like, look at me, I'm going to destroy you, Kurt. He does not stop calling Scotty Kurt until Scotty basically sort of like has a like has enough. Scotty actually slams down Austin, tries to go for the worm. Austin stomps a mud hole and started to Scotty. Kurt comes out and brawls with Austin. Taz comes in. It looks like Taz is going to, you know, help Kurt. But then Taz gives the Taz mission to Kurt. Then WWF stars come out to clear Austin and Taz.
Obviously he doesn't want to call Angle out. He wants to avoid him at all costs, obviously. So he calls out Scotty, talks down to him pretty good. Like you said, obviously acts like he's talking to Kurt, keeps calling him Kurt, just berates him, just screams at him and says basically says he's a piece of shit. He's never going to be successful. He's never going to be at Stone Cold's level, no matter how hard he tries. Like you said, though, Scotty finally snaps, hits the bulldog, and then goes for the worm. But obviously Austin kind of cuts him off. And then Angle makes a save, like you said, and Taz, despite the fact that he's been shitting on Austin for the last 10 or so minutes on commentary, he comes in and shows his true colors and locks in the Taz mission on Angle to kind of show that he's on Stone Cold's side and that he felt the need to step up and prove to Stone Cold that he could be a guy that's good for the alliance and a kind of a right-hand man for him if he needed him to be.
Mm-hmm. And then Kurt Angle is backstage. He's mad that he got set up by Taz, basically. He's going to bring the gold home again, back to the WWF and to the United States, away from the Alliance. Kurt then challenges Taz to a matchup here tonight. And now we have Rob Van Dam and Rhino versus Jeff Hardy and Chris Jericho. So again, they're focusing on the two main, like, you know, a couple of more Alliance stars, that it wasn't a total wash as, you know, we get prepared to enter SummerSlam here. So we have Rob Van Dam and Rhino versus Jeff Hardy and Chris Jericho. Jericho and RVD start. Forearm and spinning and swinging neckbreaker to RVD, front flip to RVD, dropkick to Rhino, chopped by Jericho. Steph grabs Jericho, running knee to Jericho, rolling thunder by RVD, belly to back suplex to RVD, tag to Jeff, a jawbreaker to Rhino, corkscrew dive to RVD, a gore to Jeff. RVD launches a ladder into Jeff's face. And a 5-star frog splash. For this matchup, Logan, I went 2.25 on it. I thought it was a very good match, and it puts the Alliance over well. And we're going to see where this takes Jeff Hardy and RVD's feud here as well, too.
I actually gave this one a 3. I thought this was really, really good. It had incredible pace. It was really hard hitting. All four guys really worked well together. No matter who was in the ring, I feel like they had some really good chemistry going around. This is just a really all around good TV tag team match. I thought it was really well done. Obviously, I like the introduction of the ladder that kind of leads to being. We'll kind of talk about that as we go on, but it kind of leads to being the step of the hardcore title match at SummerSlam. But I really enjoyed this one. All four guys were, really went out there and had a great match.
Then Rhino then actually misses Jericho, and then he leaves with Steph. Taz is backstage. Taz says he ended Kurt's winning streak at the Royal Rumble in his hometown of New York at Madison Square Garden, and Kurt has never beaten Taz. Taz accepts Kurt's challenge. The Hardy Boys are backstage, and then Jeff says, we're going to take it up a notch. He wants to bring the ladder into the game. Let's bring the ladder into the game. And Jeff makes it a ladder match for the hardcore title. So it's a hardcore ladder match for the hardcore title at SummerSlam. Now, Logan, so we have both gimmick matches at SummerSlam. Granted, the cage match is going to be what it is, but do you like the idea that both a ladder match and cage match are in the a pay-per-view together?
I've never been one that kind of shied away from having multiple gimmick matches in the same pay-per-view. I think if you work them correctly, I think they could both work in different ways. You'll see as you go into SummerSlam. How that kind of goes. I think the ladder ends up being effective, but the cage maybe not so much. But yeah, I think if you work them correctly, you can have, you know, two or even maybe three different gimmick matches if you work them the right way.
Yep. So now we have Edge and Christian versus DDP and Canyon for the WWF tag team titles. Cross body dive to DDP by Christian. Christian bounces Canyon off the ropes. DDP beats up Christian. Bridge back suplex by Canyon. Spear to Canyon. Christian pulls out Nick Patrick. Lance Storm kicks Edge in the face. Edge kicks out. Diamond cutter to Edge for the win. For this matchup, I went 1.5. It was good. The Alliance Alliance guys needed help cheating, having the interference. But again, we're building up to the Lance Storm versus Edge Intercontinental title match. And this match was good for what it was, Logan.
Yeah. I went star and a half as well. It was perfectly fine, but it was more about kind of miscommunication and the continued rift between Edge and Christian, obviously. And then, like you said, Storm gets involved. So it's kind of adding a little bit of spice to his match with Edge coming up on Sunday. But more of more about angle purposes than it is really about the match itself. So not bad, but, you know, perfectly fine, I guess that's what I would say it is.
Coach is backstage with Undertaker and Kane. Taker is going to make DDP famous at SummerSlam as well, like he did at King of the Ring. Undertaker is going to feed Kane into Kane, basically. And now the APA are at WWF New York. They're going to kick Tess and the Dudley Boys' asses at SummerSlam. As we know, it'll be a six-man. It's going to be the APA and Spike versus Tess and the Dudley Boys at SummerSlam. So that'll be a fun matchup to watch.
Yeah. Definitely seems like it would be a hard-hitting kind of affair. So definitely one to look forward to, without a doubt.
Taz versus Kurt Angle. Taz comes out with Alliance members. Kurt comes out alone. But then WWF members make their way out with Kurt Angle, or they come out. A clothesline to Taz. Taz throws Kurt to the outside. Kurt and Taz trade blows. Belly-to-belly suplex by Taz. Clothesline to Angle. Another belly-to-belly suplex by Angle this time. Angle reverses the Taz mission to an Angle slam. Austin then comes to the ring. Stone Cold's put in the ankle lock. A brawl between the WWF versus Alliance members, and Austin is held back. So Kurt gets the win with the Angle slam. For this matchup, I went a star and a half. Like, it was all right, but nothing really that special, you know. As again, it's just enhancing Stone Cold and Kurt Angle even more, you know.
I went a star and 3/4. Yeah, there's not much to it. The match isn't technically a lumberjack match, but every member, every like lower card member of both sides kind of come out, so it kind of ends up being a quasi lumberjack match. But Taz delivers some good suplexes to kind of start, but kind of once Angle takes over the match, it doesn't really last too much longer. He breaks out of the Taz mission, so kind of destroys that as a submission finisher immediately. But he hits the Angle slam and wins, obviously. But the brawl afterwards was pretty good. So, but yeah, it was quick. It was another quick one. You know, there's if you don't give these guys time, they can't do more than a certain level. So, it really just kind of, you know, it didn't last long enough to hit much more than a certain point.
Yep. And, you know, now we have our main event. But also, before we get into the main event, I love Stone Cold's facial expressions. Like, his scared paranoia and anger while being held back by the Dudley Boys is just great.
Yeah, I think it was like the caption of the episode on Peacock. It was his face with his big beady eyes looking at the ring, obviously like just out of his mind, wanting to get at Kurt.
Yeah, he really wants to, and he's going to get his chance at SummerSlam, so it's all coming together. Mm-hmm. Now we have our main event. It's The Rock versus Booker T in a Lights Out match. Rock lays the SmackDown. They fight on the stage. Booker slams Rock into the steps. Spinebuster to Booker on the ramp. Rock throws Booker into the steps. Shane Lowe blows Rock. Bookend to the Rock through the table. Booker T does a spin-a-rooney. And that basically ends the show. Like, it's like almost like a no. I don't know if there was supposed to be a winner or that's how like a lights out match works, but I'll give it a star. I would give it like a I'd give it a star at best. You know, it was more of like just like a brawl, and like, you know, and for Booker T to really up the Rock, you know, because like the Rock gets his ass handed to him both on Raw and SmackDown here. And this is payback to, you know, The Rock for giving the Rock Bottom to Shane on the table. So it comes back and bites The Rock in the ass here. So I didn't know if you rated it or not, but like I would give it a star if we were to rate it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I didn't really rate it because it wasn't really a match. I think it was supposed to be, but I think it kind of just ends up being a brawl. So, you know, Shane and Booker T can kind of take him out. Rock sprints to the ring. He is absolutely hauling ass when he comes out. I don't even know if the bell rang, really. But I can't remember who does it, but somebody hits a pretty nasty spine buster on the ramp. I want to say it's Rock to Booker. But yeah, the exclamation point on the end of the segment is the bookend through the table, kind of getting some revenge for Shane from last week. So yeah, they're really doing their best to kind of get you in the idea that maybe Booker wins the Sunday. You know, he's getting some momentum. He's obviously gotten over on the Rock twice, so maybe he can do it three times and come away from SummerSlam with the WCW Championship. So, yeah.
So let's review that they still are putting their marbles in with Rhino. Rob Van Dam is having the time of his life with the WWF fans. Like, even though he's supposed to be the bad guy, they really, like, love cheering for RVD. He's the most baby face in the heel faction. You know, they still have, like, I think they do have, like, a little bit left for, like, Kidman, you know. Like, even Billy Kidman, like, you know, being, like, a cruiserweight champion and whatnot. Like, you know, I think he still has some potential. Rhino, obviously, with Jericho, like, the, you know, they are really giving Rhino the key here. Booker T is, like, going to have the match of his life with The Rock here. We'll see how that goes. That feud's been great. And just the Stone Cold versus Kurt Angle feud, even though Stone Cold hates both WCW, he doesn't really hate ECW, but it's, like, weird, like, seeing the most... like the true hero of the WWF be on the Alliance side. But this is when Stone Cold gets like funny of his paranoia and anger. And for like everyone saying they hated Stone Cold as a heel, maybe they hated it the first time, but this time, like him Stone Cold's aggression is just absolutely amazing to me.
Yeah, you know, I think at the time this one, you know, the whole storyline was kind of shit upon at first because they didn't do it as good as they could. They didn't bring all the big stars in at first. Obviously, the contracts were more of an issue in that way. But people, you know, obviously shit on the fact that Austin had turned heel at WrestleMania. It didn't really make much sense. And then he even kind of, you know, puts the exclamation point on it by joining WCW and the Alliance during this storyline. So, but I think if you look back, and I think a lot of people would say that this is one of Austin's best in-ring years. Honestly, some of his best character stuff. Definitely the character stuff I think a lot of people look back on and are like really fond of it. So Austin and Angle are obviously two really bright spots in this storyline. But like you said, Rhino's kind of getting pushed as a big deal. He's constantly getting over on Jericho. So, you know, if he wins Sunday, that'll just put another notch in his belt that he beat him even one more time. So, and they did a good job of building Booker T up because I feel like kind of going into it before that, like Rock is kind of facing this guy that's not really even close to his level. So they tried to do as much as they could to kind of even the playing field in that one. So, but yeah, those few guys plus RVD are kind of the only shot and hope for the Alliance. So hopefully they start to book some guys a little bit better. But you'll see as you kind of continue to build throughout this.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Well, that's going to do it from us here on covering the Raw and SmackDown before SummerSlam. But before we go, Logan, do you have anything that you want to direct the listeners to?
Kind of like you said in your intro earlier, Highway to the Impact Zone. We just did Genesis 2006. That was an absolutely wild episode. Sean went full shift, if you know what I mean. If you know, you know. He went absolutely crazy on that one. And then YouTube Roulette, like you said earlier, we should have one of those recording pretty soon, and it should drop pretty soon thereafter. And then on the North-South Connection, I've got Linking Up Luchas. We're about to do our season finale episode of the first season of Lucha Underground. Definitely check that out. And then Talking Docs, we are doing a serial killer season right now. And we recorded Dahmer a few weeks ago, the Jeffrey Dahmer episode a few weeks ago, and we will be recording another episode of that coming up pretty soon. So definitely check all those things out.
Yes, I always love like a lot of the stuff that you produce. It's funny, some of it's serious, but mostly it's funny, especially like the YouTube roulette episodes. You're like the face of podcasting, of like comedy side of podcasting, I must say.
I appreciate that.
You can't do it without your friends, they bring energy to it. Exactly. Yep. As for me, besides Nation Invasion here on the Place to Be Nation Wrestling feed, you can find me mostly on the wrestling side of things. I also have a podcast called Extreme Resurrection with Steve Riddle. We just dropped the aftermath of SummerSlam 2007 with CM Punk beating John Morrison finally to become the new ECW champion. And, that had a little bit of a twist because Morrison's name was on the list of guys who were caught on that pharmacy scandal with the pharmacist that, at the height of the Benoit incident. So Morrison probably has to go away for a little bit here. And so ECW has a new champion on Sci-Fi, and we're going to see how the rest of 2007 fans out here. But that's basically where you can find me. I do like a guest spot here or there, but that's where you can mostly find me. Well, again, I want to thank Logan Crosland for being my guest here tonight as we head into SummerSlam 2001. That's going to do it for us here on Nation Invasion. Be prepared as we, the nation, bring the invasion.